word to our song leaders. Anytime that the congregation's singing well and you got a song that's working, it doesn't hurt to sing that chorus again. It does not hurt. Tonight, I promised a lesson about yokes. We all need a yoke. We really do. So there's a Bible class, and the teacher tells the students to bring something from home to illustrate a Bible verse. So a little girl brought a loaf of bread, and she said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Teacher said, "Very good." Another little fellow brought a bottle of water, and he said, "If you give a cup of cool water in the name of a disciple, you'll not lose your reward." The teacher said, "Very good." And little Billy, always into something, he brought an egg. He brought it up and slapped it down on the teacher's head and cracked it, and it's all over, and said, "Here, take my yoke upon you." Not quite so good. That's just wrong, isn't it, folks, isn't it? That's just wrong. Since I've gone wrong, let me ask you this. Do you know how to make an egg roll? Just give it a little push. Just give it a little push. In the Bible, obviously, that's not the kind of yoke we're talking about. A yoke is associated with a burden or a responsibility, a load or a restraint. And sometimes, it's even dealing with discipline. Everybody likes to be comfortable, don't they? I mean, what do we do when we get home from church? Or if you've been somewhere where you had to dress up real stiff and fancy, what do you do when you get home from that? Well, you kick off tight shoes, you loosen the tie, and lately I've tried to get in a little nap in the afternoon, just needed to have it. But we want to be comfortable. I mean, that's just normal part of life. We want to be comfortable. Have you ever heard the phrase "kick up his heels"? Boy, he really kicked up his heels. You ever heard that phrase? Well, it has to do with celebrating or letting loose, if you please. Sort of like a horse will frolic when it's let out of the barn or when the riding gear has been removed, and you'll see that horse just jumping and running around. Think about how you feel when you find out you were thinking you had to pay a big bunch of money to the government in taxes and you got a good tax break and you didn't have to pay all that money. You just think about how good you felt. Oh, that's never happened to you? I know it has. Sure. But there's a joy, there's a relief that you feel. It's just at ease. Well, what is being sought by the people in the text that we're going to have tonight is this very thing: relief from a heavy yoke. In 1 Kings chapter 12, Rehoboam has taken the throne following Solomon's death. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, has gone to Shechem. All of Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened, verse 2, 1 Kings 12, when Jeroboam the son of Nebat heard it — he was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and he had been dwelling there — they sent him and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you." So he said to them, "Depart for 3 days and then come back to me." And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, and he said, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" And they spoke to him, saying, "If you will be a servant" — and isn't that what God had called upon all the kings to be? A servant. "If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever." But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. He consulted his buddies. And he said to them, "What advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'? Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter for on us.' Thus shall you say to them, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges.'" A whip being one leather strap, a scourge being 7 to 9 leather straps. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day as the king had directed, saying, "Come back to me the third day." Then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given them. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips. I will chastise you with scourges." So the king did not listen to the people. Watch. For the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word which the Lord had spoken by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, "What share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David." So Israel departed to their tents. Brethren, this marked the division of the kingdom of Israel. Before, it had simply been called the kingdom of Israel. 12 tribes united. They had spats and skirmishes among themselves from time to time, and it took the king to bring peace, to settle disputes and all of this that happened, but they were still one nation, one people. But now, with Rehoboam's foolish conclusion, foolish decision, he has forced their hand. And so 10 northern tribes will be called Israel, and they will make their capital in Samaria. And 2 southern tribes will be called Judah, and their capital will be Jerusalem. And that's the way it would be till the end of the Old Testament. Or specifically, till the end of the 10 northern tribes as we know them. For when they were carried away into Assyrian captivity, they never returned. There were stragglers. There were a few here and there. But as a nation, they never returned. Judah, of course, was captive in their own land by the Assyrians. They were not carried off. And when Assyria finally, their back was broken, and they finally gained their freedom from them, and we'll hear more about that in a moment. But Judah was able to remain where they were, but the northern tribes never returned. Also, in the history of the two kingdoms, the 10 northern tribes never had a godly king, not one. God had made Jeroboam the same promise that he had made to Solomon. He made the same promise that if you will serve me, then your generations after you will reign on the throne of Israel. If you will serve me, and if you will teach these to your children and to your children's children, to follow the Lord, to do his commandments, then I will make a great nation of you. But Jeroboam led the people to sin, constructed the golden calf at Bethel and the other one at Dan. It was Jeroboam that the young prophet came, and when he spoke against the altar at Bethel, and Jeroboam stuck his hand out and said, "Take him!" And his hand withered up to the point that he couldn't even draw it back to him. That was that same Jeroboam that was the king over Israel at that time. The point of it is, everyone wanted the yoke removed, but the yoke was not going to be removed. The yoke was there, and it was indeed a heavy, heavy burden upon the people. This adds a whole new appreciation to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 and 30, when Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, or learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so when you compare the yoke that Jesus has to the yoke that Jeroboam forced upon those people, or Rehoboam rather, then you'll see a major difference in the two. All right? Now, we will come back to that passage in just a couple of minutes. Turn to Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10, and specifically verse 11. We're going to look at just a couple of verses. Ephraim is a trained heifer. Ephraim, of course, one of the tribes that represented Joseph in the inheritance. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh grain, but I harnessed her fair neck. I will make Ephraim pull a plow. Ephraim is substitute for all of Israel. He's simply calling out the name of Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, but they represent all of the 10 northern tribes. He's saying, I will make Ephraim pull a plow. Ephraim is a trained heifer who loves to thresh grain. All that heifer had to do was just walk through the field. Just walk around, threshing grain. Just walk around, eat a little, walk around, eat a little. No heavy load. That's nice. But now, Ephraim's going to have to pull a plow. And Jacob will pull a plow. Jacob will break his clods. The New American Standard says he will have to harrow the field for himself, basically. He will harrow the field. That's the device, heavy device they use to pull behind a tractor or a mule on an oxen, team oxen, to bust up the clots in the field, to kind of loosen it up, scratch it over real good so that it's more suitable for planting. But anyway, Jacob, instead of others doing it for him, he's going to have to do it for himself. This is a threat of punishment from God for their sins. Because of the sin of Israel, they were appointed to a yoke of bondage. And who placed that yoke upon them? God did. God placed that yoke upon them. Turn with me to the story of Jacob and Esau, Genesis 27. Verse 39 and verse 40, as Isaac has blessed Jacob with the senior blessing, with the blessing of the firstborn, through Jacob and his mother's deception, Isaac was fooled into thinking it was Esau, and he put the blessing of the firstborn upon Jacob, who was not the firstborn. And when Esau said, please, you've got to at least have some blessing for me. There's got to be a blessing. And so Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dews of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck. So this is a yoke of submission that has been placed upon Esau. Now that's not necessarily a bad thing, but who placed this yoke on Esau's neck? It may seem like Isaac did, but Isaac was speaking for the Lord. It was actually God who put this yoke upon Esau. The yoke came from God. Now we turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 4. Now this passage, Isaiah 9, verse 4, is referring to service to the nation of Assyria, where Nineveh is the capital. We were talking about Jonah, and so Assyria, the capital is Nineveh, that great city. All right, so watch this. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, thou hast broken as on the day of Midian. A yoke of burden, a staff hitting him on the shoulder, the rod of the oppressor. This is referring to the bondage that Assyria had upon the children of Israel. And Judah, of course, was allowed, as I said, to remain in the land as Israel's servants, but Israel was taken away into bondage. But it was God who put that yoke upon them because of their sin. Because of their sin. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 27. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslaved them. Here is a prophecy concerning a yoke of captivity to the Babylonians. It was God who raised up the Babylonians to punish Judah, and it was God who delivered his people at the appointed time. But again, the source of the yoke was God. Now, what should we learn from these brief references about the yoke from the Old Testament? Well, first of all, there's going to be a yoke for everybody. Everyone's going to have a yoke. You can have an easy yoke or you can have a hard yoke. But everybody's going to have a yoke. It is God-given discipline for those that disobey. God-given punishment, if you please, for those who will not submit to God and serve Him as we are supposed to. And of course, the end result of the yoke was something good, that the people would learn from their suffering and turn to God. Now, sometimes what they'd learn is, I have to take responsibility for my actions. Sometimes it was punishment for what they did wrong. But there was always a yoke that was placed upon someone by God when they failed, when they did wrong. Now, evil men may bring a yoke. Babylon brought a yoke of captivity. Assyria brought a yoke of captivity. That's understand. The Egyptians had a yoke of captivity for the children of Israel, the Hebrews, and the land. Evil men may bring a yoke, but God is the one that's in control. And it's not always immediately seen or understood when troubles come to us, when problems come to us, when burdens seem to push us down. Sickness, loss of job, destruction and disruption of a family, untimely death. All of these things, not to mention persecution, affliction and hardship that comes to us all. We don't always understand it. It's not always clear at the time. But God's will is being served even by a yoke. Even by a yoke of bondage. Now, do you and I have a yoke? Do we have a yoke? Most definitely. It's not a yoke of bondage or oppressive slavery. But in Christ, we have a yoke of responsibility to submit to Him in service. And so I refer back to Matthew 11, a contrast of the yoke that Jesus offers and the yoke that God places upon those who disobey. If we submit to Him, then the yoke is light and the load is easy. If we do not give in to God, then we receive a yoke of bondage, a yoke of discipline, where God yells, gee or haw, for you farmers. Left or right, serve me, obey me. And when we finally get it, then God will break that yoke of bondage off of us, and we're able to take on the yoke of Christ. And I want you to notice, when you contrast the yoke of Rehoboam to the yoke of our Lord, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. And it's a yoke you take upon yourself. It's not one Jesus puts on you. You pick it up. You strap it on. You wear it willingly as you seek to serve the Lord. You have taken on responsibility. You have accepted the blood offering of Jesus for the remission of your sins. So you should also be willing to take upon yourself the yoke of responsibility to serve the Lord all the days of your life. Be thankful that Jesus is not extending or putting upon you and me a yoke of punishment, but a yoke that is easy, a burden that is light, service that is good and normal and helpful to not only us, but to those who will hear us as we seek to serve the Lord. Now here's the beauty of this story. At the end of the day, when the work is done, when the Lamb of God calls from heaven to bring His people home, the yoke will be removed and we shall have rest. And then we can kick up our heels in heaven. It's going to be a celebration. What a party. What a wonderful eternity we will have in heaven with God if we will serve Him faithfully here. Wear the yoke and wear it proudly. Wear the yoke that Jesus gives, because you don't want the other one. You do not want the other one. But everybody's got a yoke. Which one will you wear? Consider this. Consider your relationship with God. If there's anything we can do to help you be closer to God, we want to help you. If you're not a Christian, become a child of God tonight. If you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful, rededicate your life to Him tonight. And if you need the prayers of the church, then when we sing this song, come down this aisle and we'll be glad to help you. Come if you need to as we stand and sing.